Wake Up Call continues, 6:58 on this Tuesday morning edition, 1300 WTLS, 106.5 FM. Yeah, you can wear them if you want, but you don't have to.
They're a little loud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I bet they are. Coach Mike Battles Jr., the Tallahassee Tigers head football coach, with us here as we get ready for spring football practice starting today in Tallahassee. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning.
Appreciate you being with us. We'll get into today and what's happening this season and what you got in store. Let's recap last year. You've been here a year now in Tallahassee, a little old, more than that, actually. What about the first year? What's it been like?
It's been great. I mean, I've enjoyed every minute of it. You know, Tallahassee's just like everybody told me. It's a great place to be, great place to live, great city. You know, our school system, everybody, you know. Anytime you have a lot of success, you know, look at our soccer team, look at our track team, you know, one section, soccer made playoffs. You know, it's just it's a good time right now, and it's been a great year so far.
How about that first football season, looking back at it? Was that, something that you were very proud of? Or what would you say about it overall?
I was proud for the kids, you know, the way, you know, they went out and played, you know, was in every ball game. The way the community and the support that we had and the excitement around it. So, you know, you never know coming into a new situation. And I thought it was, way above any expectations I had.
A couple plays stick out to me last year, and I'll ask you which one sticks out in your mind if there's another one. The kick, obviously, by Nick Mullins and Troy for the win, or the goal line call.
But, two is one that I hadn't forgot yet. You know, so
that's got to be tough.
How many times have you replayed that over in
your
head?
Well, you know, I quit watching it after about a week, you know, and I finally just said that's it. You know, so it's just one of those plays. I guess that's why the game is so, you know, everybody loves the game so much, is because of those types of plays. This time it didn't go our way. Hopefully next time it will. But yeah. You know, there were a lot of plays through the year. You know, obviously the kick down at Charles Henderson, that was a tremendous play. But just the play before it that Jed made to get us down there and run from, you know, you look back and at several of the games, you know, everybody knows the highlight play, but then the play two or three plays before that, if it had been, you know, one thing go wrong, those are the ones I tend to look back at. But, yeah, you know, there were a lot of kids contribute. You know, this past year, it wasn't just one kid. You know, obviously Herman had a great year. Dijon had a great year. DJ, Jed, our offensive line, you know, on defense, Taylor Marshall, you know, you can go down the line and look at all, you know, everybody contributed. So that's what was exciting about the whole year.
It was, I think, you know, you turned so many heads with this team that people probably thought, well, you know, this is going to be a chance to be a pretty good team. But it was really, I thought, you know, overachieving team. I mean, going based on what we had done the previous year, it definitely got to a level that we were one of the best teams in the state last year.
I think we're probably up there in that top 10. You know, I think we had a good enough group that we could have played. You know, I don't know necessarily we could have beat them. Obviously, Dadeville, you know, Beauregard. But if you look at the three teams that beat us, you know, those are perennial powerhouses. Beauregard coming off the best year they've had. Dadeville's in the hunt every year. Dora, obviously, you know, now that Coach Wright's back, has made it all the way to the semis. So, you know, I think that it established a little bit of tradition in the fact that, you know, our kids feel like, you know, every Friday night we can go out there and win, as opposed to we're playing one of these upper echelon teams. You know, we don't have a chance. I think our kids, you know, feel like we can compete every Friday night.
So key players from that team are now seniors and about to graduate. So you've got a new group coming back, but a nucleus is still there of some pretty good talent. What do you expect this year?
Now, I think we've got some good competition for spring. You know, obviously our backfield returns, Herman and Brandon Baines. Robbie Lynch has worked out, and he'll get some more playing time. DJ Rivers is going to play some, you know, in the backfield, but DJ will mostly be on defense over there at corner. You know, offensively, we've got to replace our offensive line. You know, Jesse Rowan, outstanding, signed a college scholarship wrestling, won state. You know, we've got some young kids that have played and had got a lot of experience last year, but they're going to have to step up. It's one thing to come in the mop-up or backup role. It's another thing to be out there on play one. So, you know, they've worked hard in the weight room. That has been the biggest thing. I think if there's been any gain from last year to this year that's significant is the strength of our entire team, you know. And So it's going to be fun. You know, last year we kind of knew going into the season with that many seniors, you know, you kind of know where everybody's going to be. This year there, it's going to be some real competition, just like you see on college campuses. There's some spots that are up for grabs, and there's two or three kids that could come out and, you know, possibly be the starter there.
Everybody thinks about guys that you've already mentioned. I mean, Dijon Pascal, Taylor Marshall, some of those guys that'll be gone next year. But you mentioned the offensive line, and how important is it coming through spring to be able to identify some guys that can step in and kind of provide some leadership on the offensive line and fill some of those holes that are left from seniors that are gone?
Oh, that's our number one goal. You know, you look at any good football team, and it all starts with that offensive line. If your offensive line's good and they gel and they get to where they can communicate and, you know, change things on the go and stuff, it makes a big difference. You can have a great running back. You don't have a good offensive line. You know, and those guys tend to be the leaders. You know, they always joke, they call them the big uglies or the hogs or whatever, but they are the nucleus of a football team, especially in high school. And a lot of what we were able to accomplish last year was because of them. They were a good, tight unit, played hard, blocked, got out there. And, you know, you got to think about what makes a game of football so unique. And I think it's the greatest game in the world is that in other sports, everybody gets to touch the ball. Everybody gets to hit or everybody gets to shoot. In football, them offensive linemen, if they do their job the whole game, you're never going to read about them in the paper. You're going to read about the running back that scored four touchdowns or the quarterback. So it takes a special, you know, a special type of discipline, a special type of character. And a lot of times it may not be the strongest kid or the best kid, but the one that kind of combines all three of those. And, you know, if we can, we know we've got some coming back. If we can identify five guys coming out of spring, it'll put us way ahead of the ball game.
Those guys do make, you know, pretty good dollar so if they can make it all the way to the top. You know, hey. I noticed a lot of offensive linemen, the ones drafted, but I did want to give kudos to you. One of your former running backs, Zach Stacy, was drafted, who played for you at Bibb County. How about that?
Second player in 2 years out of Bibb that's got drafted. Ben Jones, who played guard, starting guard for the Texans. But I tell you this, this is what makes, and I relayed this information to Dijon and a couple of others in class and stuff. What is so unique about Zach and what made him such a special player is not only did he get drafted on Saturday to play in the NFL, yesterday in the mail at Tallahassee, I got his graduation invitation to Vanderbilt. He's graduating in 4 years with a Bachelor in Science and a education, special education.
I don't know what's more impressive, really, when you put the two side by side. Yeah. They're both pretty impressive.
You know, a degree from Vanderbilt playing in the NFL, they go hand in hand. And that right there, you know, I tell people all the time when they ask me, you know, like I'll be talking to Herman, Dijon, Taylor, some of our players, that, you know, and they say, well, you know, what was he like? And I said, well, you know, as good as he was in football, he's a better person. And he worked hard, and he did it in all phases of the process, you know, in the education part, you know, the athletic part. But, that was kind of a, you know, see him get called and get drafted was exciting, and then get to school on Monday and get an envelope with his name on it graduating, that's pretty stout.
That's
impressive.
What about Herman McKenzie, who will only be a junior this year? What a sophomore season he had. What do you expect out of this guy? I mean, he's obviously proven himself already.
He'll just be better. You know, Herman has worked in the weight room. You know, I think Herman is starting to see that there is a potential for him to, you know, move to the next level. But there's a lot of things that play into that. You know, obviously he's focused on his grades, focused on making sure that aspect of it is in line. He's working in the weight room. He's going to be bigger, going, you know, retain the speed. I think, you know, I've told other people, you know, the three tailbacks we had at Bibb, one of them just got drafted in the NFL. The other two were finalists for State Player of the Year, and all of them set records. And Herman, very well by the time he's a senior, could be the best of all of them. And that's a pretty good class because all three of these guys were great. You know, but there are a lot of, you know, things that he's going to have to continue to work on, continue to get stronger, continue to, you know, work in the classroom, do all those things. But he has those abilities that, you know, those God-given abilities. You can't coach what he does. You know, some people have it, some don't. And, you know, he's got it. He's a very humble kid. And that's what I think makes him special, is that our kids don't mind blocking for him. They cheer him on because he's very humble. He'll be the first to tell you that, you know, somebody else had was the reason for this, you know. So I'm glad he's on our team. He's on our side.
No doubt about it. We saw signs of what he could do as a ninth grader at the varsity level already. But, I mean, he really broke out last year. He's only a sophomore. What would the number? Do you remember the numbers offhand? What he ended up with last year rushing yards?
1,800 yards rushing. Had right at 1,000, I believe, as a freshman. Had 1,800. And, you know, 1,800, that's a tremendous year by anybody's, you know, count. But y'all got to remember, you know, there were about four games he didn't even play after halftime.
Yeah, I was sitting here thinking.
What if y'all could have been, yeah.
If you remember one game, DJ Rivers was the Montgomery Quarterback Club Player of the Week. And he came in and backed up Herman. Started. We took Herman out. DJ goes in and has, I think, rushed for like 200 and some yards. You know, so had Herman stayed in, you know, he could have very easily reached 2,500 yards.
Sure.
You know, who knows. But, you know, he's electrifying. Of course, he had a real good offensive line, which any back will tell you makes a difference. But, you know, all he needs is a step, and he's gone. So the thing about spring training, you know, those guys we kind of know. You know, I'm looking forward to. We've got about 20 guys coming out that have not played, and I think that there's some of them that are going to be able to come in there, and if they, you know, work hard, they'll have a chance to get on the field.
You had the parent meeting. You said 66 of the 77 families showed up. That was last week. Mm-hmm. So basically you were looking at about 65 plus players showing up, I guess, today for practice. No, Is that right?
Got 77.
77 signed up to play. And of course, some of these guys won't be there because of track and other obligations.
We've got, I think, 8, you know, that are going to be involved with track, but most of them are kids that played last year. So, you know, they're going to go do whatever they've got to do through the state track meet. But, I would imagine today we'd have 65. We got 77 dressed out. We got them dressed out last Monday and Tuesday. And, you know, I hope they all come. You can't ever tell.
How does that compare to last year? Is it about the same, or seems like it's a few more than last year?
I want to say last year we had right at about 80.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
To start. And then it trickles down.
Somewhat.
You know, but, you know, any time from what I've, you know, just from experience – in 4A football, if you can keep in that 50 to 60 range, that's a good number. You know, 50 to 60 players on a team, 9 through 12, that gives you a JV, gives you a varsity. You know, of course, I'd love to have 80 or 100, but, you know, you can usually count on somewhere in that 50 to 60 range. So hopefully they'll all stay out. I hope they do.
How much have you looked at? I know we're a good ways off, and you're concentrating on the spring drills right now, but have you looked at the other teams in the region? Obviously, you've had one season to see them. Who are we looking at to be competitive in this region next season?
Oh, I think, you know, the team, you know, I was talking with Schmitty Grider over there at Beauregard, and, you know, me and him had about the same ideas. The team that's going to, you know, be loaded coming back is Charles Henderson. You know, they've got obviously their baseball team. I mean, they're like 34-3 or something to that effect. But, you know, they had a lot of young players, and they got better as the year went along. You know, they get beat by Dora there, could knock Clay County Central, the favorite to win it all, off in the first round. And, you know, I think athletic-wise, they would be looked at the favorite. Obviously, Beauregard, Coach Grider's got them rolling down there. You know, and St. James had a young team, you know, so – I would think that all three of the teams that were in the playoffs, you know, they're all going to be tough to beat. You know, there'll be some others. You know, Alabama Christian is going to have a new head coach. Their coach went back to Tennessee, and so that's you don't know what's going to happen there. But I would think Charles Henderson, Beauregard, St. James, you know, those three right there are going to be in the hunt. We'll have to beat them.
Usual suspects.
That's pretty much
which I think is what most people would expect.
And you look forward to that fall schedule. Those teams that you mentioned, Charles Henderson, Beauregard, Daveville, all those guys come here to play, right?
Right. We get them all.
Get them here.
Get them all at home this year, which, you know, is good. You know, we'll start off and take two trips to Booker T and Bullitt County, and then we'll come back home for Charles Henderson. And we get Ashford at home this year, but we got to go to Headland, so we're going to venture down there. But, yeah. It you know, the big games, the ones that are going to be the ones that decide our region are going to be at home, so that's going to be nice.
Has anybody looked past you know, November, December, when these new alignments will be coming out and where we're stacking up as far as numbers right now? Do you
have any idea?
Of course, that's based on everybody else, too.
Right. Just based on numbers, we'll be 4A. I don't think we're in, you know, anywhere close to being on that borderline. Now, what happens with the rest of them, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
You never know, because if you start trying to figure out, then a team like Pope John Paul jumps in up north and it, you know, moves everybody.
Shifts everybody around.
You know, one team that's probably going to move down to 4A that's going to cause everybody fits is St. Paul's.
Really?
You know, 5A, that won the state in 5A. You know, they were 4A at the reclassification, and that school, that Pope John Paul school that they forgot to put in, moved them to 5A and moved Chelsea to 6A. And so they'll probably, you know, this time around, they'll probably move down into 4A. And now that's going to be another powerhouse like a UMS Wright to deal with. So,
yeah. Have you thought about who you might be looking at as a scheduling opportunities after, because you will have to look at scheduling again after the reclassification?
I'm not that organized.
I don't believe that, by the way.
I know what we're going to be doing this summer. I hadn't looked at who we would play. You know, obviously we'd like to keep a Daveville. You know, they're right down the road. They do a great job. Keep them on schedule. Of course, we're going, you know, Elmore County has got to be on there at some point, whether it's a region game. That's right down the road. But, you know, we hadn't looked at any other ones. You know, a lot of that will be determined once they come out with the regions, and there'll be some 7-team regions, and there'll be some 8-team or some 6-team regions, you know. So we usually, finding ball games won't be that hard. There'll be folks that, you know, around here, we may have to play up a little bit, you know, which sometimes it's to your advantage to play the bigger schools in case you get in a tiebreaker. But, you know, I'm sure we'd try to keep Daveville, keep Elmore County on the schedule, and then, you know, find one more.
And you never know, Elmore County could become an area foe or something. Maybe, you know, well, you may have another option or something.
Yeah. And Daveville could, too.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so
we were originally in that area before they read. Class, well, I think they ran had one,
Hanley,
like you said.
Daveville, and, yeah, those folks. So,
who knows? You might be playing against your father, going up against your father here. Huh?
Yeah, maybe not, but you know, you can't ever tell. That's part of it.
That's a lot of stress on the family, isn't it?
Lot of stress on the son, and I don't know about the family, but on the son, it's a lot.
Well, we got a few minutes, and I know you got class today, but kind of go through the lineup. I know you've kind of given it to me already, but for the folks to know what you got going up as far as schedule for spring and what we'll have as we get closer to that May 17th date with a game with Notasoga.
Well, these 3 days this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we'll be out in helmets doing agilities and stuff like that. We've got the state track meet. Our track will lead Thursday morning. That involves about 8 players on the football team. Of course, they, you know, in spring, they do what they're doing until they get, you know, when they're done. We'll come back on that Monday. The next week, Monday through Friday, will be full gear. Then we'll come back the following week, Monday through Wednesday, will be full gear. That Thursday will be helmets, and then we'll play on May the 17th. One thing I need to announce, the track will be closed from 3 to 6:30 every day during the week until we get done with spring, because we're going to be on the field and it's just too much disturbance, interruptions and stuff. So it'll be open during the mornings, and then at 3 we'll lock everything up and then we'll practice. But and that's how we'll carry that through. After May the 17th, that following week, which is semester exams and stuff, we will just have workouts. So there'll be mandatory workouts. They can come morning or afternoon. And then we'll take 2 weeks off. And then we'll start our summer program June the 10th, and that'll be just like last year. Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday will be 5 to 7:45. Wednesday will be 5 to 6, and it's just agilities on Wednesday. And we'll carry that 3 weeks in June and 3 weeks in July, and then fall practice. It seems like a long time. It'll be here just
and
like
that. And you can work out in full gear in the summer, right? I mean,
you can just be in helmets.
You can, okay, can't do that. But you can at least dummies. Have a football, right?
You can have a football. We these first 3 days, there won't be any balls out there on the field. We'll just be out, you know, agilities and stuff. And then Monday, it'll become football.
How do you deal with the heat? I know that's a big thing we were talking about before you came on the air with us here this morning, that conditioning and worried about, you know, heat strokes and those type of things, which certainly have happened.
Right. I think, you know, the biggest thing with the way we do stuff is we don't ever have, you know, I think that obviously heat can be dangerous, and we have to constantly monitor it, and we have to make sure the kids have water available. And you know, a lot of times use common sense. You know, if a kid feels like he's getting lightheaded or something, he sits out. You know, we've got trainers. We've got Sterling out there. But, the biggest thing that I think gets kids in trouble is when you sit in the air conditioning for 6 months and then all of a sudden you walk outside and it's 99 degrees and you're running. That can be – our kids are out every day. You know, we get in the weight room in the mornings. We go out on the field. We ran 18, sprints yesterday. So I think that, you still have to be careful and you still have to monitor and you still have to make sure your coaches are aware of signs of, heat trouble and so forth. But I also think that if you're out in it all the time and you're acclimated, so to speak, I think there's less danger. I think there's less chances of, as opposed to somebody that hadn't done anything and then they walk out there and go at it. It's the same way of, air conditioning wasn't that big before nobody had it. Everybody just dealt just, with it. Yeah, now right. That everybody has it, it's hot outside. We take class. They've actually got a class now online of heat acclimation. All of our coaches will take that. The concussion courses, the whole thing, it's about the safety of the players. And that is the number one thing more important than wins, losses, or who does what. It's about the safety of the players. And, so we're going to make sure that we're well-versed in knowing the precautions, knowing what, the signs of it, and we won't take any chances.
When are your coaches, Clint? I know you have to go down for the sports week, I guess.
That is July the, 15th through the 19th. That is the third week of July. And that is when, they have they'll have the rules test. All the coaches have to go and take a different exam. But most of the stuff that we have to do now is online on the state high school website, and a lot of it's coming from the National Federation of High Schools. And, every one of our coaches has a little folder and has all the things that they've done, first aid, concussion, heat acclimations, So all of that is just to make sure that we're, aware of problems. And
any rules changes that we would know about yet? Or anything that stands out? Nothing.
Not that I. The only rules change that they did this year is you cannot. If you kind of remember how we onsides kick, where everybody just gets in a pile.
Yeah.
You can't run down there and just tattoo folks. Now the ball has to touch one of their players before you can hit anybody. So I don't know how.
So you just can't knock people out.
Right. We'd just dribble the ball and everybody just go down through there. And they've changed. They changed the rules so. We'll have to look at a different process of onsides kicking and that kind of stuff. But I hadn't, other rules changes. There's none that anybody would even, you're not going to notice them during the game. So
we don't end up worrying about that, I guess. So, Gary, we'll try to keep up this year. We look forward to it, Coach. Appreciate
we're supposed to know the rules too?
Well, we act like we do, but we really don't usually. Coach, appreciate your time. Good luck with the spring. We'll get you back here when you get some time. Come down and see us again here soon, and we'll talk about how things go for the next couple of weeks. Look forward to seeing you for the game May 17th. We'll be up there
for
a broadcast at J.E. Heidelbrand Stadium.
Thank y'all.
Thank you, Coach. Mike Battles with us here as the Tattlesea Tigers. By the way, a new helmet design. It's very sharp. You'll get to see a picture on today's Tattlesea Times.
Can't wait to see that.
I saw that. The coach showed me the helmet as we were over at the remote broadcast on Friday at O'Brien Stadium, and it is sharp. Looks good. You want to see that. Look at today's edition. It'll be in the sports page for you. We'll come back with more at 7:23 on this Tuesday.